You got it tuned to the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. A full account of the lessons learned from Hurricane Harvey still being tallied, but at least this much appears certain. Planners are going to have to rethink the concrete bones upon which Houston is built. And not just Houston, mind you, any coastal city at risk of serious flooding. For so long, the main strategy of such a metropolis as Houston, or anything else really, has been to fight against incoming storms with pavement and pump. But it appears the latest thinking on the subject flips things around. In other words, embrace the water. Don't just repel it. That's what Sophie Knight has discovered. She's a reporter and a design researcher based in Amsterdam, whose story in The Guardian details a surge, if you will, in flood-proof cities. Sophie, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Hi, thank you very much for having me on.
Modern cities manage water mostly through this pave, pipe, and pump technique that you detail. But you're looking at some concepts that go in the opposite direction. What's the overriding theory here?
Well, I think there's maybe two theories. One is that any water that's put into a pipe becomes useless. In the normal natural hydrological cycle, water should be feeding plants and be heading back to a river through kind of ground rock and all the layers beneath the ground. But when it's stuck in a pipe, it's useless to the plants, it's useless to animals, and then it's very also prone to floods. Then the other idea would be that when you have a huge amount of rainfall, as you did during Harvey, that the water needs to be whisked out of the ground and a place to a larger body of water. And that's not underground, but that might be a lake, a pond, or something like that. There needs to be better ways of doing that than we've been doing so far.
You know, what you're describing doesn't sound like truly advanced physics or anything. I mean, these sound like very simple ideas. But it seems like, for whatever reason, it's difficult for society to grasp. Why do you think that is?
I really think that nature was kind of overlooked in the 20th century, and people didn't really think about the hydrological cycle. The idea was that we could dominate nature and control water and put it where we wanted it. And now that's kind of seeming a little bit hubristic. It's not quite true. And it's a really expensive endeavor to rebuild towns in a way that manages water responsibly and safely.
One of the ideas that you described in this story that I find especially fascinating, this idea of sponge cities. What exactly is a sponge city? How does it work?
Right. The term sponge city, I think, came from China, where they've struggled a lot because they built their city so fast over the past couple of decades that they really didn't take heavy rainfall into account. And they're suffering a lot of flooding as a result. And it's the idea that kind of absorb rainwater through a lot of greenery, a lot of permeable pavements, trap it down in the ground rock, and then reuse it as like drinking water or water for industry and so on.
Of all these innovations that you're covering in this piece, which do you think is the most fundamental? I mean, maybe the one that cities should put the most emphasis on first.
I think the idea of densifying buildings on safe areas and then using wetlands and marshes and like bringing back this kind of forest land that we haven't really seen in cities for, you know, 100 years or so, and using that in dry times for recreation, and then, you know, during storms, you just want it to act like a sponge.
Some people would say this stuff is all, you know, this is DreamWorks. You know, no matter how cutting edge you get, once you're faced with a reality like Hurricane Harvey, no city's going to withstand 50 inches of rain like what Houston got. What do you think about that argument?
I think it's a fair argument. I mean, 50 inches of rain and like a year's worth is quite a lot of rain to handle. And having, you know, absorbable ground is not going to handle that amount of water. But it must be said, there's a huge spectrum of things you can do. And you can start, you know, in your backyard by digging up the paving stones and removing anything that basically blocks water around your immediate surroundings. And if everyone starts doing that, that really can contribute quite a lot.
It's an intriguing piece. Sophie Knight's a freelance reporter and a design researcher based in Amsterdam. We're going to have a link to this story in The Guardian at texasstandard.org. Sophie, thanks so much for speaking with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.